All right. Hey, listen, we're going to start a new series, all right? And here's what it is. Are you ready? It's really cool. You ready? Here it is. Check it out on the screen. They'll bring it up for me. Follow. Everybody say follow. And if you, how many of you know what this is? This is the little Twitter symbol. So who said that? The Twitter symbol. How many of you that have a flip phone, Steve, don't know what Twitter is? Anyway, no, hey, listen, here's the truth. We are talking about following Jesus in this whole series. And I'm going to show you different ways in which we can take following Jesus to a practical application, all right? Making it practical. In other words, how we follow Jesus. Now, before I do that, I've been off for a week and I just noticed something. My iPad keeps falling asleep because when I'm not here, I go into the settings and turn that goofy thing. Hold on. I'll be back in just a minute. I just noticed that. Zach, where's that at? Display? Yeah, there it is. 2 minutes. Never. Got it. Sorry, guys. I'm a little rusty. Okay, here we go. Now I'm ready. Okay, so now my iPad won't fall asleep. All right, so check this out. Talking about following Jesus in a practical way. Because a lot of times people don't know what their next step is in following Jesus. So I figured since we're doing water baptisms, it only makes sense to talk about water baptisms tonight. Now let me just kind of, before I get there, let me just kind of share something that happened to us as a staff, as the church, last summer. Last summer, every other year, here's the way we do things here at Abundant Life Church. Every other year, we go on a staff trip where we close the church down and we all go to a conference. And on our way to that conference, we may visit two or three churches. On our way back, we hit a couple churches just to see what other people are doing, how they're doing it. And obviously, we visit churches that are much larger than us to just figure out different ways and ideas. That's the only way we grow. Amen? Find out what everybody else is doing. All right, so in the process of that, we were headed to, Zach, help me out, Kansas City? Tulsa. We were headed to Tulsa. Tulsa. There's the other one. Tulsa. We're headed to Tulsa. Now, typically on our drives, either I drive, Toph drives, or Jim drives. Jim is Pam, my secretary's husband. We always take him along because he's quite entertaining. So we're all going, there's like, how many of us was there? Like 8, 10 of us? I don't know. 50, there was a bunch of us. We're all loaded in this van. We get to Indy. The van breaks down because the air condition won't work. Now, in my terms, that's not broke down, but in some of the people that were in the van's terms, that's broke down. You know what I'm saying? So we drive to Indy. We drive out of Indy. We realize the van's AC don't work. So we come back. We get a new van, and it's a nice van. This van kicks. It's a lot better than the Kokomo vans. Indianapolis has the better vans. So we take off out of there, and we're driving, for hours and hours and hours down 70, I think it is, or whatever it is. We're headed to Tulsa. All right, now, we get to, I don't even remember what city it was. I don't even remember, but I do know who was driving, Jim. Jim was driving the van, and we're driving down in this city. And was it St. Louis, maybe? St. Louis, I think it was. St. Louis, we're driving through St. Louis. And we're all talking in the back. We're not paying attention. Toph is in the back. I think Pam was in the passenger seat, and Jim was driving. And they're driving, and they're driving. And nobody pays attention to what's going on. So we drive through the city, and we just keep going, and we're driving. Something should sound off already if you figured that out. So we're driving and driving, and nobody's paying attention except Jim and Pam. Co-pilot and pilot. So we get down, we're about 2 hours past, and we pull over, and I said, man, it seems like, I mean, we should have seen something, but this doesn't feel right. So we're at a rest stop, and I didn't want to question the driver, because now Toph is driving. Because right after St. Louis, Jim needed a break, so Toph took over. So Toph is driving. And Toph, I'm like, man, this doesn't feel right. So at the rest stop, I pull Zach aside. I said, Zach, pull up your phone. He pulls up his phone. I said, where are we at? He pulls it up. We are 2 hours in the wrong direction. All right, in the wrong direction. Now, mind you, it's like a 15-hour drive already, you know, and we're 2 hours. And so immediately I go into boss mode, all right, because I'm like, okay, group meeting, everybody, talk to me. Jim, you were driving. What happened? Why are we off course and Toph is driving? I asked Toph first because he's nice, always. I said, Toph, how are we so off course? He goes, listen, I haven't turned off at all, and the GPS hasn't said anything to me. I said, okay. I pulled Jim. I'm like, Jim, what happened? He goes, listen, that GPS just kept saying, recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. So I shut it off. Melissa, am I lying? You were there. Zach, I said, you what? He said, it just said recalculating all the time. I said, Jim, that means we're going the wrong way. We programmed the GPS to take us there, and now you just decided to do whatever you wanted. We're going the wrong way. You can't. What are you doing? He goes, sorry. So we ended up getting to Tulsa, Oklahoma like at 1 or 2 in the morning, like stupid crazy. We were supposed to be there because I kept figuring, how many of you know you just sometimes in your gut you know something's wrong? It's like, and you can't put your finger on it. It's like, this is odd. We're in the, you know, we're in the Niagara Falls. You know, something doesn't feel right. But there's a great lesson in this, and I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this because this is the point that I want you to hear. You ready? Listen, direction, not intention, determines destination. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Direction, not intention, determines destination. Your direction, where you're going, determines where you end up. Not I intended to. Listen, we intended to go to Tulsa. We ultimately made it there, but we intended to, but somebody turned off the GPS. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? And we ended up in a complete wrong place because, get this, because direction, not intention. We intend to go to Tulsa. Well, it doesn't matter if you ignore the GPS when it's telling you to redirect. You will end up in the wrong place. Can I get a witness in here? Y'all hear what I'm saying? So get this. Here's the deal. Some people need to recalculate where they're headed in their life. Some people need to recalculate. You say, but I don't intend to be there. Well, then intentions doesn't matter. What matters is your direction. You can intend to go this way, but if your direction is this way, you're going to end up there, even though you intend to end up over here. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? And I believe heaven is going to be filled with people who, in their life, they allowed direction to lead them there. And then I believe hell is going to be full of people who allowed their intention. Well, I didn't intend to end up here. I didn't intend up here. I don't believe anybody intended to be bankrupt. I don't believe anybody intended to be depressed. I don't think anybody intentionally meant to go off course with their life and destroy their family. I don't believe anyone, I didn't intend to do that. No, but your direction is what put you in that place. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying. Your direction is what put you in that place. So listen to this. When it comes to following Jesus, a lot of times the directions get real hazy. They get real fuzzy because everybody has a different idea and different application as to what it means to follow Jesus. But during this series, I'm going to break it down to common denominators, man. You can't miss these aspects of following Christ. And obviously, the first one is, especially with what we're doing this week, is this. We are going to talk about following Jesus through water baptism, because that's what matters. Listen, direction, not intention, determines what? Destination. Was it that bad? I thought it was pretty witty. I mean, I really did. I thought it was pretty witty that I came up with that. Direction, not intention, determines what? Yeah, do you believe that? Absolutely. So get this, talking about water baptism. Now, let me say this. We all come from different church backgrounds. But listen, here's the truth. You ready? I was born Catholic, baptized as a Catholic before I knew what baptism was. Right? Got saved, gave my heart to Christ, was baptized in a Baptist church. You know? Went to a church for 4 years that sprinkled. Okay? So now, each one of those aspects of church would tell you why they believe what they believe. Tonight, I'm going to tell you why I believe what the Bible says about water baptism. And listen to this. Don't believe what I say. Go and research it for yourself. Go check out what the Bible says for yourself and make up your own mind. I will tell you that this issue right here is not a heaven-hell issue. No one's going to heaven because they got baptized. That may rub some people wrong already, but it's true. And some people that don't believe you need it at all. Well, that's not true either. So let's find out what the Word of God says and get right into it. First and foremost, here's the deal. The word baptized comes from the Greek word baptizo. You ready? Here's what it literally means. Submerge, to immerse, literally to dip under. Check this out. I love Oreo cookies baptized in some milk. Y'all get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? All right, listen. You can sprinkle yours if you want to. But as for Chuck, I'm going to dip those babies all the way in. I want it so to where it almost falls. Come on, there's a point. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's a point. And you know how when you go too far, it's like, oh, dang, dang. Because you know when you get to the bottom of that milk, it ain't going to be there. It's dissolved. Right? Which scares me. But anyway, here's the truth. You know there's a point. I know there's a point that your Oreo cookie is no longer good. Okay, but literally, it means to immerse. So let me ask you this. When we're talking about water baptism, which way is the proper way? Well, until you start sprinkling your Oreos, I would baptize your Oreos. That's what it literally means. Baptizo implies submersion or immersion, completely submerged. Matter of fact, in the Greek language, it would be a common phrase if you looked out on the horizon and you saw a boat sink, you would say that boat is baptized. Immersed, complete submersion. So that is the way we do it here at Abundant Life Church. We believe in full submersion. We dip you all the way in. Say, Pastor Charlie, are there exceptions? There are. There are. I'm not going to lie to you. We have sprinkled people only when it was someone's dying deathbed deal. Some people can't make it to a baptistry. We do not believe the Word of God is so legalistic that you got to baptize people even when it's impossible for them to be baptized. Right? But if you're 25 and you play your video games all day and you can walk the trash to the end of the road, how many of you know you can get in the baptistry and be baptized? All right, praise God. So there are exceptions, but you get what I'm saying. Get this. The word to sprinkle is not used in the Bible because this is the word, which antexemia. It's pretty good, huh? Antexemia, something like that. It means to sprinkle in the Greek. That word is not used in your Bible when it comes to water baptism. It's not used. That is the word that would have been used had anybody been sprinkled. But the Bible doesn't say anyone was sprinkled. It said that people were baptizo. They were baptized, fully immersed. Matter of fact, even looking at it, Jesus was baptized. How many of y'all know that? Jesus was baptized, which is interesting because there are those that believe baptism is only for the taking away of sin. Well, if that is true, I would argue, did Jesus have sin? Come on, everybody in here should say, no way, Jose. Thank you. Because how many of you know, he is the Lamb of God, slain before the foundations of the world. He took our sin upon him because he was without sin. But yet, he was baptized, absolutely. So check this out. Jesus came from Galilee to John, to the Jordan, to be baptized by him. Now watch this. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. Look at this. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to what? Fulfill all what? Righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. Look at this. And then he allowed him to baptize him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove and lighting upon him. Look at that. The second person of the Trinity right there. The Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Now, get this. And suddenly there came a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved who? Son, in who I am what? Well pleased. There you have the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, speaking from heaven. So you got all three persons of the Godhead right there at Jesus' water baptism. I tell you some pretty powerful things about water baptism that maybe you didn't recognize before. Jesus never did one miracle before his water baptism. He never did one ministry event before his water baptism. He didn't do anything in ministry before his water baptism. His water baptism actually was the announcement that he is the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world and actually launched him into what we would call Jesus' ministry. Isn't that powerful? So we can't say that water baptism doesn't have any implications to us. If Jesus, who is without sin, was baptized, how many of you know we should be baptized? Every person in here should be baptized at some point in their walk with Christ. Now, is there any time when people should not be baptized? Silence. How about this? When they don't believe in Jesus. Right? Right? It's funny because my kids are preacher kids, okay? But they're good preacher kids. When my kids were little, we would, everywhere we went, they'd baptize each other. It's the craziest thing. They'd see, there's a couple things my kids will always do. My kids, ever since they were little, I would pray over them, and I would lay my hands on their forehead, partially so I could hold on to them. You know what I'm saying? And then you pray like this, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I'm saying. Come on, that's a whole lot better than this. Okay? So my kids have grown up in the house where that you lay your hands on stuff and pray over stuff. So that's normal to them. And the other one is baptizing. We'd go to a park and they'd be baptizing people. You know what I mean? Baptizing their friends. Now understand this. I didn't get on them for that. But how many of you know it has no meaning if it's not connected to the sacrifice of Jesus over your life? Right? It's just an act. But understand, to a believer, water baptism is more than just an act. It's something you do as an outward sign. Matter of fact, I'll get into that here in just a second. Listen to this. It's so powerful, Jesus commanded us to be baptized. Did you know that? Now listen, if there wasn't power in it, Jesus wouldn't have told us to do it. Hey, everybody, check this out. I want you to know this. Jesus is not into religious activity. No, he's not. You may not know this, but he was not into religious activity. He was so much against religious activity that people got mad at him because he didn't obey their religious activity. Yeah, for real. But Jesus is into things that can change and transform and empower your life. He very much so is. So here's my opinion. Anything I find Jesus commanding us to do has power over my life. Even though I may not understand it, even though I may not be able to wrap my head around it, I can tell you it has power in my life. So when it comes to water baptism, it absolutely has power because Jesus commanded it. Here's what he said. He who believes and is baptized, baptizo, dipped or dunked, right, will be saved. But he who does not what? Believe. Now I want you to notice that. Jesus draws a distinction. He says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who doesn't believe, what? Shall be condemned. But notice the distinction. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that doesn't even believe. The reasoning I want you to understand, where I'm trying to get you to go is to understand this. In Jesus' mind, if you believe, you'll be baptized. That's how he feels about it. If you believe, you'll be baptized. It's just, if you believe, you'll be baptized, right? Pastor Charlie, I don't have to get dipped in water to get saved. You're right. You don't have to have a basketball to play basketball either. You can play it with your imaginary basketball. But it helps to have a basketball. Okay, maybe that was a poor analogy. I don't know. It makes sense in my head. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't. I've heard people say that about church. I don't have to go to church to be saved. Yeah, I know you don't. That's true, totally true. But why wouldn't you want to? Man, I love God's people. This is no joke. Last week missing church, it was so bad. I came early to the last service so I could hang around. I love church. It's hard for me. it is hard for me to take time off, and it is hard for me not to understand people that don't want to hang out with God's people. I just love it. I love it, love it, love it, love it. Oh, that's just because you're the pastor. I would show up if y'all didn't like me. You know what I'm saying? I love God's people, man, no doubt about it. But notice this, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who doesn't shall be condemned. So, does baptism save you? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, look at what the Apostle Paul said. For Christ did not, this is the Apostle Paul. If anyone knows about what it takes to be saved, how many of you know the Apostle Paul does? Yeah, for real. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Until you get that spiritual, let's not even talk about it. Here's what he says. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to what? Why did he tell him to preach the gospel? Because that's what saves. That's what saves, preaching of the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made with no what? No effect, for sure. See, get this. Here's what water baptism does. It identifies you with something. Here it is. Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his what? His death. Now watch this. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in what? Newness of life. Let me tell you what water baptism does. It is an outward sign of what God has already done on the inside of you. You say, what is it doing on the inside of me? It is public acknowledgement that you want this, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus to be applied to your life. The death, burial, and resurrection. The death, because your old man has died. He is crucified. Your old person is done away with. How many of you know you are a new creature in Christ Jesus today? Amen? So listen, your old person is crucified. He's done. He's walked. Matter of fact, you're dead. I didn't think I'd get too many amens on that. But you are dead. You are dead. You are dead. You remember the Apostle Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Absolutely. You died. You have been died. That's what I was about to say. The death, the burial. The burial, and of course, the resurrection. That's what it represents. Death, burial, and resurrection. It represents that to us. When you are water baptized, you are publicly declaring, I'm accepting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ over my life. I accept it, and I'm following it. See, it's like this. Last week, obviously, pretty traumatic experience, daughter being married. How weird would that have been without wedding rings? Huh? Could they be married without a wedding ring? Can you be married without a wedding ring? So why do you wear a wedding ring? Huh? Here it is. It's a public declaration of what you've already decided to do. Right? Right? It's a sign to friend and foe. Come on, am I right? It's a public declaration. Listen, how many of you know those vows change something in your life? And let me tell you something else. Water baptism, publicly declared, does something in your life. It absolutely helps you transform. It is the next step to following Christ. I put it this way. Water baptism is an outward act of an inward reality in your life. It's an outward act of an inward reality. In my world, I died. I died. When I gave my heart to Christ, I died. I'm alive in Christ. I'm a new man. Matter of fact, people ask me, you know, your class reunion, you going to go back? No, I'm going ever back to that. Never going back to that. Can I get a witness in here? Any dude? My good, wow. It was like all at once, amen. I'm not, because that is not me. That is not me. Oh, I hadn't seen you for years. Give me your phone number. You hadn't called me for 20 years. I ain't calling you. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? All I'm saying is that you're a new person in Christ. You're a new person in Christ. The old person is gone. The new person is alive on the inside of you. And when you accept when you are baptized, it is publicly declaring that reality that you are a new person in Christ. And again, why wouldn't you want to do that, man? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Check this out. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us what we must do to be saved. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that Christ raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. Everybody look at me. That is the starting line, not the finish line. That is a starting line for a relationship with God, not the finish line. I know whenever growing up, I would hear people talk about being saved, and I thought, everybody in here is saved. But they preached every week like you wasn't. All right? And I used to think, my goodness, why can't we learn something new other than I need to be saved? I get it. We're all here, 200 of us. We're here. We're all saved. You know what I mean? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I was like annoyed by it because I'm like, okay, because here's what that tells me. If all we preach is Jesus saves us, and again, I'm not against preaching Jesus saves us. But that, if that's all, then we make that the finish line. And how many of you know there's a lot more to serving God than just being saved? That is not the finish line. That is it's a starting line. It is absolutely a starting line. So when we believe in our heart, look, not that we're water baptized. Your first step in following Jesus is accepting him as Lord and Savior. Your second step is water baptism. But nevertheless, look at this. For with the heart man, what? Believes unto righteousness. You're made righteous by your belief, not water. And with your mouth, confession is made unto what? Unto salvation, for sure, for sure. So get this. Jesus was baptized. Then Jesus commanded us to be baptized, right? In following him. Now get this. Then Jesus goes one step further and says, hey, when you go out into the world, guess what you should be doing? Watch. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Notice that. So Jesus was baptized. Then Jesus commanded us to be baptized. And then he says, now, as you go out and you make disciples, I want you to baptize them. See, whenever I first got saved, and even for a while after serving the Lord, I thought of, you know, being baptized as like hazing, Christian hazing. If you can survive baptisms, we'll get you to the next level. You know what I mean? My first time, I got all kinds of baptism stories, and I won't wear you out with them. I'll give you the first one. I had never baptized anybody ever before, okay? I'm out with Don Dexheimer as the pastor at Hillsdale United Methodist Church. I've never baptized anybody before. But so my buddy, his name was Doug Newland, asked me if I would be there and help baptize him. All right. So I'm like, sure, Doug, I'd help you. And I talked to Pastor Don about it. Pastor Don said, yeah, Charlie, you know, come on out. You guys know who I'm talking about. Yeah. So we walk out there and here we're at Lance Pitt. It's the church picnic. Everybody's there. It's a wonderful time. It's beautiful. The sky is blue. The heavens are about to part. It's awesome. All right. So we get down in the water and Don is on one side. I'm on the other side. Right. And I had never seen him do baptism, so I'm standing there on the other side, and he looks at me and he goes, you ready? I was like, yeah. Okay, he grabs Doug, throws him in the water, and goes, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I now baptize you. Okay, first of all, I can feel my buddy trying to pull himself up out of the water. He did not expect to go snorkeling. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh my goodness. I couldn't believe it. Because typically it's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we now baptize you. You know, you get dipped, you come up, and it's all good. And I was like, I teased him after. I said, Don, did you want to take prayer requests? I mean, crap. You about drowned in my friend. Doug and I used to crack up about that. But listen, here's the truth. The truth is, whether he stayed under for 2 seconds or stayed under an hour, Baptize them. That's what makes them disciples. It is the outward sign of what God has done already in our heart. And Jesus commanded us that whenever we go and we make disciples and believers of people, that they should be baptized also, right? Now, I know I don't want to take this message and run it into the ditch. I know there are a lot of people that don't believe you should baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they'll, especially around this region, they will say that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not a name. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Hey, listen, here's the truth. The truth of the matter is that is a big argument over nothing. Big argument over nothing. It's not the name of Jesus. How many of you know these are proper nouns in the sentence? They are proper nouns. They're capitalized. And I know enough about English to tell you they are proper nouns. And whether you like it or I like it or anybody else likes it, if it's a proper noun in a sentence, it is a name. So you... And let me just say this. Do you think you're going to get to heaven and you're going to get up there? And Jesus is going to be like, hey, listen. I told you the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I know you went and did it that way, but that's not what I meant. It's a lot of hubbub about nothing, and it frustrates me. Don't even call the radio station. Don't even call the church. That frustrates me. Because here's the truth. The truth is it's the heart towards God, not the outward. You do the outward to show what's in the heart. And the outward matters. But we're not so legalistic as to say, we have to say the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have we ever baptized people in Jesus' name only? Yes, when they ask. Can you baptize me in Jesus' name only? Yeah, we'll do it. In Jesus' name. By the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I just think, listen, here's the truth. You ready? Some people can be so religious that they miss the trees from the forest. Come on, am I right, guys? You know it. I know it. It's like, I'll baptize you in the name of tongues if you want. Whatever. Here's the reality. It is the heart behind the matter. That's what Jesus had a problem with the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were doing things, but they had the wrong heart. If you're doing it with the right heart, man, God will honor it. God will honor it. I was talking to one pastor one time. We were talking about this because they had a big stink about this whole verse and all that. We were out at Cracker Barrel. We're talking the whole time. And I said, so you think you got to do it that way? I think we can do it either way. He goes, yep. Those people aren't really saved that you baptize. I said, you're crazy. I said, you mean to tell me if somebody's walking into the water, they slip and crack their skull and they go to heaven right then? He goes, you better get them in the water in the name of Jesus for them to get there. I said, and there is no reason to continue our conversation. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? Oh, did I twitch? Was on my shoulder. Y'all see that? I'm sorry. It just doesn't make sense to me. Here's the deal, guys. Jesus is not trying to keep people out of heaven. He's not trying to make it hard. He's just trying to get people to follow him. Isn't that right? Just follow him. Follow him with all you got. There are going to be enough bumps and bruises and mistakes along the way without you and without religion. Just follow him. Come on, amen. Amen, for sure. So, here's the deal. So, why do we baptize? Why do we baptize people? Check this out. Here's why I believe for sure we baptize. And there are a lot of reasons, but I'm going to give it to you. Ready? This is another account of Jesus' water baptism. And out of that, I'm going to extract some points and show you some reasons why I believe you should be baptized. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. If you notice that it's almost word for word the same account given in another epistle or another one of the Gospels. So my point is, anything that's in the Bible is important. Anything in there more than once is really important. Jesus is trying to drive a point home. So what out of that do I get for the practical application of my life? Let me tell you what I believe. I believe, number one, you receive divine approval whenever you're water baptized. I believe that. Remember, Jesus went down to the river. He went down into the water and heaven opened. And it said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." I know by being dipped in water and by following the Lord in water baptism, I'm doing what pleases the Father. I have a divine approval over my life because I followed what the Lord said. I didn't divert from it. I didn't dodge it. I've met people who say, "Pastor Charlie, I would get baptized. I'm afraid of water." I immediately ask them, "Do you take a bath? Do you take a shower? Have you ever been swimming? If not, step aside." Come on, there's no reason not to be dipped in water. It's an outward sign. It's a sign. And I believe it brings God's divine approval over your life. Jesus didn't do any miracles, didn't do anything, didn't even start his ministry without being baptized. Say, "Pastor Charlie, I've already been baptized. I was baptized as a child and I don't remember it." Then you should be rebaptized, because that baptism doesn't do you any good. Not any good. I was baptized as a child in the Catholic Church, and I understand their principles and methodology, but I will also tell you, every person in the New Testament was baptized after they believed on Jesus as an adult. "Pastor Charlie, do you baptize children?" Yes. When children are old enough to understand right and wrong and that Jesus died for them, I feel like Jesus said this, "Forbid not the children to come unto me." So will I baptize kids? Yep. Does a kids ministry baptize? Yep, we'll baptize. Does it take parents' approval to baptize a child? You better believe it, man. We're not a cult over here. We want people and their parents to understand the principle of water baptism. So I believe, number one, it brings divine approval. And let me just say this. Your conscience is clear. Anything Jesus said, I want to obey. Okay, about 4 or 5, they've all been water baptized, praise God. How many of y'all hear what I'm saying, though? I don't know about you, but my conscience can eat me up. And I never want to avoid that out of my life. I want to say, "Okay, Lord, I know I need to do it, so I'm going to obey, and I'm just going to do what you've asked me to do." Amen? Here's number two, second reason I believe for sure. Number two, there's a supernatural breakthrough that comes. The heavens were opened over Jesus when he was baptized. The heavens were opened over him. I don't know about you, but I want open heavens over my life all the time. I want everywhere I go. You may have a closed heaven over you, but I want a cloud. You know, like Pigpen on Charlie Brown. Yeah, I want a cloud that's open. Everywhere I go, I want to see God's divine favor. And you say, "Oh, it doesn't happen." I'm telling you, it does. I'm telling you, it does. I'm telling you, God's divine favor can follow you all of your life. If you'll just simply obey. Just obey what he's asked you to do. And I will tell you this. Some of you are like, "Well, I want to and I want to obey, but I don't understand it all." Here's the truth. The reality is, you will only gain understanding after you've been obedient in the kingdom of God. You'll never understand it completely. You only understand it as you do it. As you forgive, then you realize how bound you were and how free you are now. As you obey God and step out and take the next step, then God moves in your life and frees you for the next level. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Here's the last reason for sure, no doubt about it. It empowered you to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. Now, let me ask you this. Was Jesus already born and conceived by the Holy Spirit? Yes. But notice that the Holy Spirit descended upon him again at his water baptism. So listen to this. I believe you were empowered by the Holy Spirit when you are following Christ through water baptism. Through water baptism. I believe you could do that. So now, get this. Acts 8:35 says this. Then Philip, he was preaching, opened his mouth. He was preaching to this eunuch. And he was beginning to explain the scriptures and preach Jesus to him. So what did he preach? Jesus to him. Now watch this. The eunuch said, "Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water." Now, isn't this interesting? And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now, here's a powerful thing. The man is preaching Jesus. He's preaching Jesus under the New Testament, but somehow water baptism must have come up. Why else would the eunuch go, "Well, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And I would ask you the same thing. The eunuch said, what hinders you from being baptized? What hinders you from following the Lord in the next step to being water baptized?